You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on Wednesday, I speak to Scott Clough, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Now, Skalk, I've said this to a couple of commentators earlier today, but I'm going to say it again to you at the risk of being repetitive. I'm worried. You got the Fed tonight. We know they're going to raise 75 basis points, don't we? That's the first thing. You can comment on that later on. We've got the Bank of England tomorrow. No one really cares too much about that, apart from people in England with mortgages and credit card debt. There's numerous other central banks doing their thing as well. But you've also got the right wing coming to the fore in Europe in the form of two countries, Sweden and Italy. And I just start, and also, of course, Mr. Putin doing what he did and said that he's going to call up 300,000 people who don't know how to hold a gun or put on a pair of boots to go into Ukraine. I can only think that although geopolitics doesn't always, in fact, seldom does affect the markets, this time, everything coming together at the same time, there may be a little bit of shenanigans going on. What do you think after that little introduction?
Shenanigans, you know, that's a polite way of saying we're in big trouble here.
I think we are don't you? Yeah, you do, yeah.
I must say, you know, I read it somewhere, you know, earlier this morning that, you know, flights out of Moscow, more specifically out of Russia, is totally sold out.
I know.
You know, today, you know, after that announcement, you know, every person that is eligible to go and you know, now need to be called up as part of that, called that 300,000, and just want to grab a flight and just fly somewhere, just get out of Dodge. Yeah, it's it's sort of things are we roller coasting here, because last night I saw the announcement earlier yesterday where they mentioned Putin addressing the country or so, you know, on his ways to address the country, and you know, there was a lot of, you know, are we going to see them retrace? Are we going to see you know, Putin announcing, well, let's have the referendum, let's see, you know, how these And let's just call it a day, and everything is fine, you know, afterwards, but I would say all's fair in love and war, you know, let's just be friends again afterwards. And today suddenly, you know, everybody's taking up arms, and I've seen, you know, he's talking about again, don't tempt me, and I won't hesitate to use nuclear and this and that, and wow, look at the dollar index. Rocketed, and it feels like it's going to hit that, you know, one, you know, 111 mark any moment now, and that's just typically a sign that it is just risk off,
because it's a flight to quality. In other words, people say, if I'm going to have any sort of currency in the world, if there is a massive conflagration somewhere, at least if I go to any village in any place in the world to buy some food, a US dollar will buy me that food. I mean, it's obviously a gross exaggeration, but on the other hand...
Yeah, but what are we saying here, Lindsay? Because we always say
you tell
that,
me.
But I think I think for the layman out there that's listening to this podcast and say, what the hell are they murmuring about? You know, why is this the flight to quality? Because I don't think the US is quality at all, you know, when I look at their levels. You know, I don't think their currency is quality, but I mean, that's a personal opinion. But they're still the reserve currency. You know, what that effectively, you know, mean, and when you look at the global reserves, which is held in dollars, you know, a little bit more than 70% of those global reserves are held in dollars. That makes it a safe haven. Like you just said, you can go anywhere in the world. You know, 70% of the globe's reserves are held in dollars, and that makes it a safe haven. But, oh, man, that is just – I mean, this is levels we've seen last in 2003. I mean, this is again, a new one-year high. And levels, like I just mentioned, which we haven't seen for 19 years. Hopefully it's not giving us an indication of things to come. You asked me about the interest rate. 75 basis points expected. We're gonna hear the actual announcement in 2.5 hours' time. But I've got this itchy feeling. I mean, I've got this really.
You should see a doctor about that.
Yeah, I have, and it's sent me to a specialist.
No, but seriously, you know, what have you got? I'm trying to make light of it, but there are so many things going on at the moment, Skulk, that even I, as a broadcaster who normally embraces change and turmoil, I'm really, really nervous sitting in Europe. I'd rather be sitting in Hermanus on your stoop, watching the whales go by.
I would rather be sitting at Hermanus on a stoop as well. I'm not there currently. Naturally, I'm sitting in front of a Bloomberg screen and watching markets rather than whales. Mm. But I mean, I know they're expecting 75 basis points, but I've got this really uncomfortable feeling that they're going to come out with 1%. And I would say that's not a 100% call. I would most probably put a probability of about 20% on that. But I mean, I think if there's any time to sort of shock and see, well, let's see if we can rather contain inflation a lot quicker, and we can debate that, you know, that part, you know, are they going to be able to contain, you know, inflation? I think the one thing that we've seen lately, and I watched the month-on-month figures, we've seen it today on South African inflation data being released as well. You can clearly see there is a decrease in the speed and the ferocity of inflation. If you look at some of these commodity prices, we look at the oil price, it do sort of justify saying, well, maybe we don't need to be that aggressive. This is the let's call it the most hawkish, or let's call it the tightest monetary policy the Fed has run in decades. So what do you do? You know, we've often said this. What do? Do you just gradually decrease and eventually find the sweet spot? We've seen what constant every 2 months they come out, and for the let's call it 10 days prior to the Fed meeting or Fed interest rate announcement, you've got the market that we've seen over the last 10 days. I mean, just look at the market since inflation came out last Wednesday. And it's just been all over the place downward. Others are just going to say, well, let's just hike rates 1% now. I know it's going to be a bit tough one, but at least November we can come out and say, well, you know what, we've done that 1%. Maybe we can now take the foot off the accelerator. Maybe that November 1
But have a look. Look, sorry to interrupt you, but have a look at it this way. What is the Fed funds rate at the moment, Skulk? I mean, there's so many numbers in my head. What is the Fed funds rate at the moment in the United States of America?
So as it currently stands, it's going to go up 75.
What is it now before this rate rise this evening at 8 o'clock South African time? Is what?
2.5.
Okay.
2.5.
So if they raise rates by 1%, it takes it to 3.5. And if you divide 1% or 100 basis points by 2.5, what is that? I'm mathematically illiterate, unfortunately. But that is a massive, massive move from 2.5 to 3.5. And dividing 1% by 2.5%, it's, what is that about? Anyway, you've got your calculator in front of me. That is a shock to the markets. That is a shock to the mortgage market.
That's
a shock to people that own debt on credit cards. It's too big. They can't do it, especially after what happened with Putin this morning. Markets are on edge, politically, geopolitically, in every other way. So I can't see them raising by 1%. Maybe they should because they're independent, but I just can't see it. It would be irresponsible to my mind. That they would be admitting that they were late a year ago. That's my simple analysis.
We know that's the case. Mm. We know that's the case. We know they're late. And you can others say, you know, fool me once, you know, shame on you. You know, fool me twice, you know, shame on me. And I think that to a certain extent might be, you know, where we're at now. This is not, I mean, when you look at that, you mentioned, you know, Sweden earlier in the writers there. Yeah. I mean, look what they did yesterday. I mean, they actually hiked rates by 100 basis points,
yeah,
you know, up to 1.75. I mean, so pretty much from 0.75 to 1.75, not just the biggest hike in, 30 years. You know, I think that the last time, you know, that the other 1% hike was 1992. But this is sort of becoming a bit of a trend. So, yeah, I agree. I think there would be a massive shock to the market. Would this have a extremely negative effect on markets, or more specifically the U.S. markets? Undoubtedly. I think it'll be a massive, massive shock. But again, if interest rates are your tools to sort of contain inflation, I mean, and you were late, which we just said, you know, the case is for the U.S., then rather do 1%. I mean, that's another 0.25%. I know it's a lot, just another 0.25%. And at least be in a position to November, say, hey, you know what, fellow Americans, we're going to go into Christmas. I know you all expected a 75 basis
point. September the 21st, but anyway, I mean, it's the autumn solstice, yes, but anyway.
Oh, yes. Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. Autumn or you know, spring solstice.
In the Southern Hemisphere, yes. Exactly.
Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right.
But let's see. I think we're all speculating. I think as it currently stands, let's look at consensus, 0.75% expected. I think we will most probably see the 0.75%, but hell, will I be glued to my screen 8 o'clock tonight? Oh, for sure. For sure. I think it's going to be a humdinger.
It's going to be a dinger, all right. Okay, let's have a look at the South African JSE Securities Exchange and have a look at a couple of corporate results that came out today. York Timber, Bytes Technology came out with an update. City Lodge came out with some results as well. So not rats and mice, because they're important companies, but did you see anything that caught your eye?
Yeah, I think both, as you mentioned, is not really companies that we hold in our portfolio. City Lodge did attract my interest because our interest. We had a discussion between the team members, and one of my team members made a very, very, you know, solid observation. So let's just quickly for all the City Lodge shareholders out there, they already guided. They guided a week ago, stating that although the headline loss will be a little bit, you know, smaller this time around, they will still be making a headline loss. And today the actual numbers came out. Revenue improved from 507 million rands to 1.1 billion rands. That's up 117%. We know we can't look too deeply into that because naturally, you know, the period which they're comparing it to was a COVID year, where we've had serious lockdown and most of these hotels were affected. So, but we looked at, how did this compare to pre-COVID levels? So when you look at the revenue, 1.1 billion, which they released today, look at the same period for 2019, financial year end 30 June, the revenue was 1.547 billion. So close to, I don't want to round up because everybody said that's closer to 1.5, but it's over 1.5 billion rand versus 1.1 billion rand. And then we just looked at, you know, things that they mentioned in the report today, where they look at the occupancies and they sort of boasted and said, well, you know what, you know, we in July this year, our occupancy was 53%. In August, our occupancy was 52%. And now in September, our occupancy is up to 56%. So we looked at the occupancy, you know, pre-COVID levels, just to get an idea, you know, where should they be, you know, if they're going to go back. And it was quite interesting to see 2019, the occupancy was with 55%. So pretty much on target. So, you know, the one question that immediately pops up and said, what the hell did they do with their room prices? You know, clearly the prices per hotel room was seriously under pressure for you to have the same occupancy.
What do you pay for a hotel? I mean, I don't know if you go on business trips and stay in places. I know recently you were in Sandton, you're living in the Western Cape and you work in the Western Cape, but I think you went to Sandton. at some stage, and I would always be put up, if I was doing an MC gig or something like that, I would be put up in a place like the Sandton Sun, where people get corporate rates. But what do you pay if you're a businessman, a small businessman, and you go to, you go to Johannesburg from Cape Town? What do you pay for a room in Johannesburg these days?
Oh, man, I must admit, although it sounds, you make me sound like such a,
arrogant
setter. Well, I didn't go for arrogant, thanks for that.
But somebody else does it for you. What is it, 1,000, 1,200? How much is it?
No, it's way more than that. I remember in let's call it in COVID areas, there was quite a few specials that popped up things that said, well, this, price went down. And I think on that stage, you were looking at a pretty, pretty decent hotel. Those prices by then actually came down to, I think, 2,500 rand per
night.
No,
come on.
I think your normal city lodge, Sandton.
Sandton Sun, yeah.
I'm actually, while we're checking, because you made me look now, and I'm actually just tapped in here. What's his name? Let's just quickly have a look at Sandton City Lodge. Sandton City Lodge.
Yes.
It's currently, as we speak, if you're a non-smoker, you will pay 1,520 rand per room. And if you order a suite, you will pay a whopping 95 rand more, 1,615 rand. So, I think that's your City Lodge type of hotels. I think it'll go up dependent on where you stay and what time of year it is.
Is
it a business trip? Or do you just need a B&B type of scenario, or are you looking for something? Yeah, like you said, you do
just
you
a businessman. You want to just flop down. You want to go to the meeting and then fly back to Cape Town. I'm out of touch. I know that in the Netherlands, for example, probably the best you're going to get at this time of year is, 150 euros a night, which is what, around about 3,000 rand. And that's for a pretty standard, bog standard place. But anyway.
I know, just on that point, 3 years ago, just the year before COVID, I went and visited my sister, in your neck of the woods.
Mm.
She stays in Amsterdam. And you're right, that was more or less the cost, per room. I made the observation back then that, in rand terms, there's not much of a difference, booking a hotel room in Amsterdam or booking a hotel room in Cape Town, or for that matter, most probably Sandton as well. So, I think they were on par, did the weakening in the rand, put that out of whack now. Well, then again, if you look at the euro, rand didn't really weaken against the euro like it's done against the dollar. Because I was interested the other day when I looked at your dollar, on the 1st of January 2021. So basically, as from the beginning of last year to pretty much now, your rand per dollar weakened from the 14 rand levels to 17 rand, where it's trading now, 17 rand 60, 17 rand 70. And when you look at the euro, we're still trading stronger against the euro over that same period. So that would most probably not affect the hotel room prices.
Okay, let's have a look at the JSE today. We've spoken about a couple of companies that have reported today, but let's have a look at companies that have moved up and down. Firstly, Bytes, after its results up, or rather its trading update, up 4.5%. Transaction Capital up 3.5%. Sasol, a 2.7% gainer. Sappi up 2.4%. And Karoo up 2.3%. On the downside, why is Thungela down 15.5%, Skunk?
That's a dividend of 60 rand. So
it played a massive dividend, so that's it. But has it gone further after the 60 rand as well?
No. Actually, this morning was actually on par.
Yeah.
And I think in the latter part of the day it actually improved. So
really, okay.
Let me quickly just have a look. If you look at Thungela as it currently stands, Share price down 58 rand 58, and dividend was 60 rand. All shareholders out there that's now currently, you know, suddenly just got a heart attack, you're actually still positive.
And CUP down 6.7%. Is that also a dividend story, or is that just
29 cents? 29 cents dividend, yes.
Okay, Mass, the property company down 5.8%. Impala Platinum down 5.2%, and Motus down 2.9%.
All of them ex dividends.
All of them ex divs in the five. Okay, good. They should put that little star on there to say it's ex dividend, so that idiots like myself can understand what's going on here. Right, let's have a look at commodities now, if we can, Skulk. And I know you must be in tatters at the moment.
Yeah. Crying myself to sleep every night. Crying myself.
You see, you can't fall in love with your position. You really can't fall in love with it. It's the first thing. And you have clearly fallen in love with gold.
I understand the saying of sleeping like a baby, because have you ever seen a baby just sleep right through
the night? No, it wakes up every two hours to get fed.
Screaming and crying. Well, I'm sleeping like a baby these days with my love for gold. You know, I think we sort of got a love hate relationship now, and with the dollar at close to 111, I'm not going to be smiling.
Gold is 1667. That's up $2.75 since yesterday. Platinum is up $28 an ounce to 920. Palladium is down 4 to 2152. Let's have a look now at crude oil, because that's been all over the place, as it always is. I've got Brent crude oil now just dipping below 90. $89.98 per barrel, which is down 0.7%. I always make this mistake, though. I must refresh my screen, because it's... it's back above 90 now. $90.01 per barrel, which is down 0.2%. And the West Texas brand is $83.47 per barrel, which is just about 0.6% weaker. Natural gas down a third. What else is going on? Copper down 1.25%. Wheat, you've got to watch this one. Got a feeling about wheat. It's up nearly 1% to 901. That's just over $9 per bushel. And iron ore, 99.50, which is down 0.5%. That was this morning in the Far East.
Definite wheat watcher. I'm in your camp. Mm. I mean, we've seen the inflation data being released today. Not going to be focusing too much, because it was bang on target, or bang as expected. Mm. It came from 7.8% last month year on year growth, 7.6% year on year growth for August. Things that stood out for me was exactly what you just mentioned. When you look at food inflation inside that basket, that surged by 11.5%. And you know, I like, you know, watching that Peter Maritzburg, household affordability index. I've often talked about it, and I'm not going to explain to you, listeners again. It's a just a basket of general goods. I mean, I'm talking the basics of basics, you know, cabbage, butternut, bread, you know, white sugar, those type of things. Just a small basket of things, normal things we buy. That basket has increased year on year between 31st of August 2021 to 31st of August 2022 by 12.6%. So that correlates very, very nicely with what Reserve Bank basically gave. Well, the Stats SA came out today with CPI, food inflation growing by 11.5%. So that is our biggest problem. I mean, Lindsay, yes. I mean, I know we've got a massive problem with power and load shedding and those kind of things. But I mean, when food inflation in a very dire economic growth environment grows by close to 12%, you know, people are going hungry. And people go hungry, they it's a very, very difficult
socio-economic situation, not just in South Africa, but across the globe. Okay, let's have a look at this now. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield is 3.565%. Who knows where it'll be at 8:30 South African time this evening. The South African 10-year bond yield closed at 10.51%. Bitcoin has clawed its way back above 19,000, 19,293, I fear, for that thing. And S&P 500 futures are up around 0.5% as people jockey for position ahead of the Fed. Give us the closing JSE indices, please, Skulk.
So JSE closed today at 66,209 points. That is down 59 basis points. Resources were, you know, somewhat stronger, with the general resource, as you just mentioned, ticking up with only 1 basis point or 0.1% stronger. Industrials down over 1%, down 1.1%. I think most probably driven by Naspers and Prosus, but. And then financials. Financials kicking up a little bit, just 7 basis points stronger. Property index, that is down 1.22%. And I know people like watching the top 40 index. That closed today at 59,818 points. That is also down 0.5%. When you look at the value trader today, as expected, not an active day. You know, trading below 20 billion, in actual fact, you know, 18.74 billion traded today. So very quiet day on the JSE. And as you mentioned, everybody's, you know, watching those levels, watching those US levels, and watching to see what the Fed will announce today. And just to end off, S&P 500 currently trading at 3,877 points. That is up 0.55%. NASDAQ, 11,473 points. That's up 42 basis points. And the Dow Jones, also 53 basis points in the green, 30,868 points. So, yeah, let's see. I've got a distinct feeling, you know, no matter what we say the U.S. markets are currently trading at, it's not going to be trading like that in 3 hours'
time. It definitely won't be. And I look forward to speaking to you next week in a totally different world. And I hope tonight you don't sleep like a baby, which wakes up every 2 hours. I hope you sleep like the old man that you are. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.